The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Some have claimed that free grace theology gives believers a false assurance of salvation. Let's talk about that on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we are in a series in which we are responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace theology. I think you'll find it quite interesting. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you a little bit more about our ministry, so stay tuned for that. But as for now, let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're discussing a book by Wayne Grudem, probably one of the premier systematic theologians in the country, at least in terms of book sales. He wrote a book about free grace theology, which is the position that we hold, called Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. And we've been going through this over the last several episodes. We're going to start on chapter 3 in his book. It's called False Assurance. And by the way, I should mention that Bob wrote a response book to Grudem called Grudem Against Grace, A Defense of Free Grace Theology, where you go chapter by chapter.
Right. I go right through every chapter, his same titles, every subpoint within the chapter, using the same language. And so it's a point-by-point discussion of what he says.
Right.
And it's approximately the same length.
Right.
Let's see, how long is my book?
I think you were very obsessive about the length and the word count. So
let's see. His is 159 pages. Is mine 159?
No, but
I shot for it.
It's typeset differently. Ours is 136 pages, but the typesetting's a little bit different. Probably the word counts were
pretty
I can
close.
Imagine that they were exactly the same. Honestly, I can imagine you coming into my office
I got
and saying,
the Obsessive Compulsive of the Year Award at Dallas Seminary for five of my 7 years. So, no, they didn't really give an award for that.
But you made one yourself, and you gave it to yourself. All right, false assurance. Here's how he summarizes this issue. Free grace theology gives false assurance of eternal life to many people who profess faith in Christ, but then show no evidence in their pattern of life.
Notice just in his summary, first of all, he's saying we're giving false assurance. So we'll talk about what he thinks false assurance is.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll talk about what he thinks assurance is.
Sure.
He says of eternal life, which is good, to many people who profess faith in Christ, but then show, and then notice the words no evidence, which seems rather extreme. And then he says, in their pattern of life.
Right.
That's quite subjective, pattern of life.
Right.
And then the statement, no evidence, you know, I would argue you couldn't find a non-Christian on earth that has no evidence of good works.
Right. I guess that's why he qualifies that with patterns of life, because he realizes everyone has a little bit of good works in their life. So it's not that there's no evidence, but there's no evidence in your pattern of life. But then maybe we can start by talking about the truth first.
That would be good.
Right. We would say that assurance is of the essence of saving faith. And here's why.
All right. What does that mean?
If Jesus promises you in John 3:16 that whoever believes has, present tense, everlasting life, and you believe, what do you have?
You have everlasting life. He also promises you will
never perish.
And in Greek, never perish means never perish.
So if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that promise, then what must you believe you have? You must believe that you have everlasting life. If you're not sure about that, then you haven't believed Jesus' promise. If you think to yourself, well, maybe I have it, maybe I don't.
Right.
Well, then you have
exactly
not believed
right.
in Jesus.
That's exactly
if you think, well, I don't know if I'm going to perish or not, then you have not believed in Jesus. If you think, well, I don't know if I'm going to have life forever and ever. Well, if Jesus promises everlasting life and you're not sure of that, then you have not believed in Jesus. Whatever else you have believed, you've not believed in what he's promised. If you believe, you are sure. That's why assurance of having everlasting life is of the essence of saving faith. There's just, you can't, if I say, Bob, I put $20 in your pocket, and you say, well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. You're not really sure, are you?
I wouldn't believe you.
Right? You're not believing me. But right. if you believed it, then what do you believe you have in your pocket?
$20. Yeah, and that's a very good point. And, you know, Dr. Grudem comes from the perspective, which is widespread in Christianity today, that assurance is less than certainty. He believes in degrees of assurance. all the way from very weak assurance to what he would call full assurance.
Right.
But full assurance isn't certainty. I like to illustrate the Calvinist view, which is his view of assurance, like this. Let's say that we have a state lottery. Oh, I think we do. Let's say that there were 1 million tickets for a given lottery.
Yeah.
And you have 100,000 tickets.
Yeah.
What are your odds of winning?
So a 1 in 10 chance.
1 in 10. Would you be highly confident, highly assured that you were going to win?
I'd feel pretty good about those odds.
You wouldn't say it's a slam dunk.
I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk. No.
In fact, you would say 9 chances out of 10, I'm not going to win. So you really feel pretty puny about actually winning. You might be more confident than anybody else because nobody else in the state has 100,000 tickets.
Right. If I had just 1 ticket, I'd feel extremely
Chance. Let's say you had 500,000. What are your odds?
1.5.
1.5. So would that be the kind of like full assurance?
No, I still wouldn't be certain.
Okay, so maybe full assurance would be having 750,000
right,
tickets.
Right.
So your odds are 3 out of 4, right?
Right?
But for the Calvinists, there's no such thing as having all 1 million tickets.
That's the other point. So assurance, it's not a spectrum. You either believe it or not.
Right, but for Grudem, it is a spectrum. Recently, someone gave me a copy of a dialogue between Zane Hodges and S. Lewis Johnson about Zane's book, The Gospel Under Siege. And in Dr. Johnson's response to Zane, he says that Hodges does not define assurance, nor does he discuss the various degrees of assurance.
Mm.
And I'm listening to that going, wait a minute, Hodges makes it real clear that assurance is certainty, and there aren't any degrees of certainty.
Right.
You're either sure or you're not sure.
Right.
And so, to me, it's Grudem that's giving false assurance because what he calls assurance is not assurance.
So that's one aspect of it. But here's another aspect. We also would say there's false assurance.
Oh, we would.
Right. But for us, assurance is based completely on Jesus' promise. It's based on his faithfulness to keep his own promise. That's what assurance is based on.
Exactly. I like to say it this way. We look at the root, not the fruit.
Okay.
For assurance, I'm not going to look at you, Sean, and go, well, man, you're a godly person, and
right.
you're a mature person.
Right.
And so I think it's highly probable you're born again.
Right, right.
But
right.
I'm not going to be sure until right. the end of your life, because you could fall away. And if you end up dying as an alcoholic, then I'll go, oops, I was wrong.
Right.
But on the other hand, what we look at is the root. And I say, oh, Sean, I know that you believe in Jesus for everlasting life as a free gift apart from works. And so I know you're born again, and it has nothing to do with the quality of your life.
Yeah, for us, it's all, the Latin theologians would say, this is kind of fancy, extra nos. Assurance is outside of us. It's not intra nos. It's not by, what's that called, morbid introspection. It's
right.
outside of us. It lies in Jesus' promise. But we would say there is such a thing as false assurance. For example, let's say the good Catholic who they think, hey, I was baptized as a baby. I take communion. I'm better than average. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. They believe it. They think they're going to go to heaven when they die.
That would be false assurance.
They have assurance, but it's false assurance because it's based on a false gospel.
Right.
So true assurance comes from what Jesus actually promised. False assurance comes from believing a false saving message.
Let's take Grudem, for example. Let's say Grudem has full assurance. I'm going to assume he thinks whatever level of assurance he has is the max. And
right.
so Grudem thinks he's probably going. But Grudem himself knows that if he were to fall away, and that's possible, that he would end up going to the lake of fire. I would say Grudem's assurance is false assurance.
Right.
The only way Grudem would have true assurance is if Grudem said, I, at some point in the past, believed in Jesus for the free gift of eternal life, and I know John 3:16 is true, therefore I know I'll never perish and I have everlasting life. If Grudem had true assurance, he would say, I'm sure, I'm secure, and it has nothing to do with, what does he say in his summary, my pattern of life?
Right.
If he thinks it has to do with his pattern of life, he's offering false assurance.
Yes. And so what he actually says here, page 78, here's his whole thing. We would say assurance comes from what you believe and not anything else. But he would say it's not just what you believe, but it's also how you believe it. And so his big problem with us is that we leave out repentance. And he says,
now we're back to chapter 2.
We're back to chapter 2, but this is chapter 3 and page 78. He says, somewhat intellectually, they believed those things to be true facts about history and about themselves. And on this basis, some free grace pastors and teachers have assured them that they are saved. So he's contrasting what he thinks is insufficient faith, and he's about to tell us what sufficient faith is. He says, but they have never truly repented from their sins. They are still lacking a necessary component of genuine saving faith.
Oh, now notice that turning from sins is now a component of saving faith.
And remember, we discussed this in an earlier episode, way back on page 38 and elsewhere. He defined repentance as doing good works.
Yeah.
If doing good works and changing your life is part of repentance, and repentance is a component of genuine saving faith, guess what is a component of genuine saving faith?
Doing good works.
Doing good works.
Wow.
And so what he's saying is, but they have never truly repented of their sins. So even if you believe John 3:16, if you haven't truly repented of your sins, which means changing your life and doing good works, then that's not enough for you to be saved.
Oh, so the Lord left something out that was essential when he was talking to Nicodemus. He should have told Nicodemus he had to repent of his sins. Wait a minute. John 3:16 is an insufficient message.
That's the implication.
In fact, the entire Gospel of John is, because it doesn't include repentance. Now,
right.
He has an explanation in the previous chapter why the Gospel of John doesn't include repentance.
Well, he goes on to say in page 38, they still lack genuine repentance, and so they've never had genuine New Testament faith.
Are you on 78?
78. Yeah. They are not born again. They are lost because of a weakened gospel message. So why are they lost? They're lost because they've not repented. And what does it mean to repent? You have to do good works and change your life. So according to Grudem, it's not enough to believe in Jesus for salvation. You need to do good works. He doesn't come out and say that. You have to put the pages together, but it's as plain as day.
Well, especially when your assurance is based on your pattern of life. I think, Sean, we need to do a little bit more on chapter three.
We're out of time. We're going to have to come back to this. And I hope that you'll join us as we continue going through Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. This is important stuff because he's just a symptom of what a lot of other people say. And if you're going to get clear on grace, and if you're going to preach free grace, you're going to have to understand this stuff. So keep on listening.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about evidence for salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.